Association Research. This is episode 82 and explores chapter 6 of Tony Rossi and colleagues' book, Workplace Learning in Physical Education, Emerging Teachers' Stories from the Staff Room and Beyond. This week I'm delighted to welcome Naomi Hartle as the practitioner responder, and I thank her for her considered words and for taking the time to respond. The words you hear in the response are Naomi's, but the voice is mine. I hope I do justice to her sentiment. This is an audio version of the PEPRN blog that can be found at www.peprn.com. And the Oscar goes to... Given the need to play your part in the staff room, how long is it before new teachers are invited to break a leg before they leave for practicum? Strategy, it seems, is not left on the playing fields of physical education, but is significant in departmental spaces and in the interactions that occur between departmental colleagues. Playing the long game or hitting the short side are, perhaps, not tactics that belong solely on the pitch or court, but they also play a part in developing and maintaining cordial relations with significant others, others who might hold a new teacher's future career in their hands. Putting in a good performance is no longer the domain of the athlete or actor, but also fits the teacher. Perform or perish, perhaps? This blog considers how pre-service teachers and beginning teachers perform their selves within the subject staff room or department. Specifically, it considers how such performances come to be viewed as authentic and how new teachers safeguard their selves within the protective cocoons they weave about themselves through these performances. By filtering their ideas and actions through the expectations of A, the subject, and or B, the departmental staff room, the participants in this study either found a way to be accepted or, in refusing to play along or perform, were rejected. If we take this study as an indicator of general practice, then we learn that during their practicum experiences, pre-service teachers spent the great majority of their non-teaching time in the HPE subject department offices. As such, we can assume that these spaces are significant in terms of the social tasks that young teachers perform, and the opportunities they afford for newcomers to interact and forge relationships. That said, it also becomes clear that students had to perform in certain privileged discourses to be successful. Rossi and colleagues suggested that these dominant performances were performing valued discourses and performances of the body. Performing valued discourses. If they talked about sport and fitness, indeed about the performance of bodies, then they were on the right lines. New teachers perceived, however, that they also needed to show, perform, certain attitudes towards obesity and the whole obesity debate. In contrast to the critical and yet open-minded approach that students had been encouraged to adopt at university, perhaps another performance itself, but that debate is for another day, new teachers were expected to think in terms of ticking time bombs and have certain bodily aspirations themselves. Furthermore, pre-service and beginning teachers were expected to talk about fat people in terms of well-rehearsed characteristics, i.e. lazy, incompetent, disorganised and or unreliable. When they aligned themselves with or performed these ideas, they expressed a sense of comfort and created a sense of protection for themselves from more hostile gazes. Due to the timings of the practicum, i.e. the season of different sports, and the dominant focus we discussed last week on traditional male sports, Rossi and colleagues suggested female pre-service teachers were at an immediate disadvantage given that it was winter and the three main football codes were in season. The topics of conversation were dominated by these sports. This meant that new teachers, male and female alike, had to be highly informed, contemporary, and show the appropriate prejudice with regards to the sports that were worth playing. Being able to participate in certain conversations afforded certain pre-service and beginning teachers access to contact with key teachers, i.e. supervisors, mentors and sports coordinators, who acted as the audience to this performance participation. In contrast to those who couldn't or wouldn't perform in this way, and who frequently found themselves on the periphery of the HPE community in the school, performers created wider opportunities for themselves. By performing in the correct way, new teachers were invited to take advantage of social opportunities outside of school and were seen as a good fit. One student suggested that she almost wanted to be wanted, and although she lacked the highly informed language of rugby league, She created opportunities for herself by showing the right attitude. All right, rugby, teach me. Indeed, those participants who lacked the right background had to be all the more sophisticated and required alternative strategies, such as volunteering for team manager positions and/or helping other teachers. By developing what Rossi and colleagues called a performance of inquiry and helping established teachers see a need for them, new teachers connected to the staff room in more subtle ways. Fitting in, no matter how they did it, was a distinct advantage. Those who felt that their performances were misaligned or out of keeping with the social environment of the department were made to feel uncomfortable. Some found other places in which to spend their time, but this was a high-stakes game that could have repercussions such as social isolation, a low rating, and/or limited employment opportunities. Performances of the body. Another strong discourse in many departments revolved around expectations regarding body form, bodily maintenance, and health within the HPE profession. For many new teachers, what they noticed most was the degree of scrutiny and regulation that existed in the department. One teacher suggested that she learned to sit in certain ways in an effort to camouflage her body. Rather than sit in certain comfortable chairs, she stayed behind her desk so as not to be in full view. This decision put her on the periphery of staff room conversations, but allowed her to pass muster with regards to how she looked. New teachers reported that they needed to manage their look, i.e. how their bodies looked and how they were clothed, and that this was a constant performance while at school. In other ways, there was an expectation that new teachers had to adhere to community expectations and taken for granted truths that connected bodies, activity, health and values. This was conveyed through the words, actions and organisational structures of the HPE department. Participants felt that playing along with the general corporal discourses was part of their performance as an aspiring or new teacher, and yet this is in stark contrast to the underpinning principles of teacher education, i.e. inclusion and acceptance of difference. Looking the part and appearing to look like a physical education teacher allowed new teachers to consolidate their performance as being professional. Rossi and colleagues suggested that habits of dress, values and historical constructions of HPE teachers were performed within the departmental offices in highly explicit ways. Indeed, failing to meet the standards of dress style invariably resulted in derision and insult. In concluding my portion of the blog, I am left to ask if we are caught in a performance loop. Rossi and colleagues ask if pre-service and beginning teachers are involved in a performance that simply re-establishes the truth of practice in physical education. By conforming to expected practices of the departmental office, are they part of a process that further entrenches the self-same practices? And if so, how do we change what is understood as being acceptable? Practitioner response by Naomi Hartle. My experience in my practicum and first year of teaching was fairly similar to those in the article. In my practicum and first year of teaching, I was part of a PE department. Coming into a new department is always interesting, as you want to make a good impression so that you fit in with the team. The PE departments I worked with had been working together for years and had created their philosophy together. In some cases, grading students based on dressing out was expected of the department team, and this never sat well with me. I experimented a lot with technology and they seemed to support me in this. If you call a pat on the head and a that's nice a form of support. I conformed to their standards and expectations to play the game. I think this was to their benefit as well as mine, as it saved me from years of social isolation and it saved them from having to reflect on their practices and ultimately change. In my last 3 years of teaching, I was the only PE teacher in my school. This meant I was the PE department. Where some physical educators may feel they have to conform to the PE department's philosophy, my challenge was the staff room and community and their perception of physical education. I am fortunate that my principal was supportive of my teaching practices and my program. I did gain critique from parents and other teachers, as I did not have a traditional PE program. I tried to turn their viewpoints into an opportunity to advocate for my program and educate folks about my physical education philosophy. Participants felt that playing along with the general corporal discourses was part of their performance as aspiring or new teachers, and yet this is in stark contrast to the underpinning principles of teacher education, i.e. inclusion and acceptance of difference. This quote from the blog had me rethink my experiences. I felt that playing along, or as I sometimes call it, trying to survive, is a rite of passage that everyone goes through. This quote makes me question my experiences, wondering if inclusion and acceptance of difference were encouraged, or if conformity was the main theme. This whole idea concerns me. As educators, we teach our students personal and social responsibility. We teach them acceptance of others. Yet are those the experiences our students have? If new teachers coming into the profession feel as though they must conform to a set of predetermined rules to fit in, do our students see this and mimic it? If we are not accepting of differences in our departments, how can we be accepting of differences in our students? How can we support them in their physical literacy journeys and their plight to be lifelong learners and movers if we cannot support who they are? Conformity and resistance to change have all been a part of my experience as a new teacher in the profession. Not only are you trying to figure out who you are as an educator, but also navigating the waters of your school community. It is difficult trying to play a role you may not fit into in order to maintain your job. Are we stuck in a performance loop? I think so. I will leave you with this quote by Audre Lorde. It is not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognise, accept and celebrate those differences. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, to your experiences? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I will explore the next chapter of Rossi and colleagues' book. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Naomi for her contribution and for taking the time to reflect on this blog. I would also like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this podcast and in getting it out on time in an semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Thank you. We'll be right back.